Ah, yes, the sound of the heavy metal bumper music indicating that you have tuned to one of those new hot talk hip happening talk shows. You've been hearing all about those. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Henry. When you hear rock and roll bumper music, that means the guy that hosts the show wants desperately for you to believe that his show is cutting edge and hip, even though after you listen for about 20 minutes, it usually ain't. But this one is. And we're very happy to be with you here. Today is whatever the hell it is. It's 2001. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Before we get into our first topic, we're going to talk about Whitney Houston and the fact that she's been stalked by some freak that thinks that she is, Whitney is this lady's spiritual stepmother. Very strange story. We wanted to ask the help of our listeners. We're fans of a group called the Tiger Lilies here on the Phil Henry Show. The Tiger Lilies are a trio of, they're very strange, and I'm not going to bore you with the details because this is America. Their music is not sold, as far as I can tell, their music is not sold anywhere in the United States. We've tried, and we can't find it any place. That doesn't surprise me because they're really odd, and this being America, things that are too quirky and weird just don't get sold around here. So rather than we have to do some mail order thing, we thought what we would do, if you got a Tiger Lily CD, we'll trade you a Phil Henry CD for a Tiger Lily CD. Now, I imagine we'll get more than one offer, so we'll just do a random drawing, and whoever's name we pick, you'll get the CD just as soon as we get the Tiger Lily CD. So see, we got it covered all the way. We ain't sending you no CD until we get yours. When we get yours, you'll get ours, and we're only going to do a random drawing, so it doesn't mean everybody doesn't get one, and that's just the way it's going to be. And if you know, if you're a Tiger Lilies fan, you know who I'm talking about. The rest of you guys don't know what I'm talking about. What I would suggest you do is go to tigerlilies.com, download some of the interesting selections of music that they provide there, listen to these freaks, because they are gone. They're way out there. And you'll enjoy them as much as we do, and then maybe they'll play L.A., or they'll play more than a couple of towns in the United States. I don't even think they played the United States this last tour. They played Vancouver, and now they're in England, and they're big in Russia. So there it is. They got a Moscow website. 1-800-449-8686. On the line is Art Griego with a group called Fan Base Associates. Now, here's the story, and it's one of those interesting stories that comes to us from the warped center of America. A judge has issued another restraining order against a New York City woman who believes that Whitney Houston is her mother. Superior Court Judge Kenneth McKenzie issued the order Tuesday against Desiree Weeks, whose most recent letters to Houston included a threat against the singer. Weeks began sending rambling letters to Houston's management company, calling Houston mommy and the supernatural reincarnation of her real mother. She sent her gifts, including underwear, a makeup kit, candy, and cake. So that is really freaky. And on the line is Art Griego talking to us, actually airborne, because I know, Art, you're a private pilot, a former commercial pilot. Welcome to our program. It's good to have you on online as you fly over. Where are you right now?
So right now, actually, I'm over Long Beach, California, and making just a couple of turns here. We'll be coming into Long Beach Airport.
Art, what is Fan Base Associates?
Fan Base Associates, we're a loose federation full of fan clubs. We exchange information about artists, artists that we like, artists that are our favorites. Britney Spears, Tom Cruise, NSYNC, Harrison Ford, Catherine Zeta-Jones, they all have fan clubs that are represented at Fan Base Associates.
So you guys are just, you like celebrities? Or?
We do. We enjoy celebrities.
Why the fast? I mean, I like celebrities. But why the fascination? Why an organization that is a federation of fan clubs?
Well, I think it's a good question. But celebrities show us how to be successful. I think, in some extent, they bring joy. They show us something to strive for. When you look at a successful artist, a successful actor, a successful anybody, they kind of tell you and they tell the rest of us how we can maybe live our lives to have some success. Whitney Houston, I would never, Phil, advocate stalking anybody. And this is a terrible story.
A lot of fans get out of whack, get out of control.
Well, a lot of fans are sick mentally. And it's obvious that the one that is involved here is mentally disturbed. But I have to tell you this, and I just say this, having been a music fan all of my life and I'm particularly a big fan of R&B, rhythm and blues. Whitney Houston hasn't had too much success recently, and I would never advocate stalking somebody. I would never advocate that. I think it's sick, and I think it's pathological, but you've got to look at Whitney Houston and ask yourself, maybe in this case, it's a good thing. I don't know if it...
What do you mean? How could stalking somebody be a good thing?
I don't think it is, but she hasn't had a hit album. She couldn't get arrested. And I mean literally couldn't get arrested. They stopped her in Hawaii with marijuana, and they didn't even arrest her. And I have to look at that. And I have to...
They didn't arrest Whitney Houston in Hawaii because I believe she went by security and got on the plane.
That's not what I heard.
Well, what did you hear?
What I heard was they didn't recognize her. They didn't care. If they'd known it was Whitney Houston, if they'd known it was somebody famous, and I think someone might have said to them, you know, this is Whitney Houston, and they're like, well, we don't care. And they let her get on the plane.
Well, I don't think that you're talking about the security at the Honolulu airport and the police. They're going to let somebody...
No, but you've heard the saying, they couldn't get arrested. That means they're not famous anymore. And what I fear for Whitney Houston, I don't think she's famous anymore. And that is a bad place. That's a bad, bad place for what once was, I'm told, a pretty good singer.
Talking to Art Griego from... You're told she was a pretty good singer? The 1991 Super Bowl, man. Did you hear the national anthem?
I heard about it. I didn't hear it.
Well, it was quite a rendition. 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego of Fanbase Associates. You're saying Whitney Houston ought to be stalked?
No, I'm saying no, she should not be stalked, but I am saying that her career has been so in the toilet, frankly, that it could only help her, I think. I think there's some celebrities that stalking would help them.
But the inherent danger of being stalked, the inherent possibility of violence.
Absolutely, Phil.
I mean, that's there's no fame in the world worth that, do you think?
I don't doubt what you're saying. I think it is. But look, all fans are potential stalkers. I think when we are fans of somebody, it's hard to hold ourselves back because their lives are not as good. Our lives are not as good as a movie star's. The natural instinct is to follow your favorite movie star and see where they live because their houses have things that fans don't have. So the natural instinct of every fan, I think, Phil, is to stalk. I'm just saying, if you're going to stalk somebody, Whitney Houston, Cameron Mannheim, some of these people whose careers are in the toilet.
Well, let's be clear about something right now. You're not recommending that anybody stalk Cameron Mannheim or Whitney.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying they could use the publicity. That's all I'm saying.
Let's get to this thing you were saying about fans. All fans are potential stalkers.
I believe we all are. I mean,
you're talking about everybody.
Well, I think everybody is, yeah, a potential stalker because we want to see how the movie stars live. And I think it's exciting. A friend of mine told me that he was looking through a fan magazine and they had a list of the things that movie stars have in their homes. And
like what?
It's pretty exciting. Jacuzzi bathtubs. They have makeup mirrors that you light up, marble floors, four-car garages, big vaulted ceilings. Just neat things that movie stars have. And I think that's the one thing a stalker sees is probably the stuff that a movie star has in his house.
But we're not condoning stalking.
No, we're absolutely not. But look at the neat stuff you see if you stalk. And if you stalk Whitney Houston, you're saving a career. So.
All right. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. Art Griego is here. We're a little bit all over the board here, Art. We wanted to come on and talk to you, and you do not approve of stalking celebrities.
I do not approve of that, no.
But you did say that every fan is a potential stalker.
Only because we want to be close to our favorite artists, and we want to see how they live. And some artists, maybe they need stalking. I don't know. I mean, you look at Ringo Starr and look at his career. He could probably use some stalking. I don't know.
Well, we're not recommending that, so...
No, we're not. But the other thing, Phil, is...
Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Tell him to hang on. I know he's in an airplane. Art Griego from Fanbase Associates. All fans are potential stalkers as far as he's concerned, and if you're going to stalk anybody, stalk Whitney Houston. She needs it. Well, no, you know, no, she doesn't. I don't think anybody does. He was also mentioning that Fanbase Associates provides a list of things that you can see if you were a stalker, things you'd see in a movie star's house. Lighted makeup tables, real marble floors in the kitchen, four-car garage, a vaulted ceiling, sport courts outside, lighted fountains in the front yard, and they also have alarm systems. So this is a list in Fanbase Associates magazine of stuff that, you know, rich people have, famous people, celebrities. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. With Art Griego, Phil Hendry on the line here. You're over Long Beach, Art?
Right now, Phil, I am, yeah.
In your private plane?
Right, I'm in Malibu, and we're just over the airport. And it's a gorgeous day after all the rain we've been having.
All right, we're talking about your organization, Fanbase Associates, and how you guys have a loose federation of fan clubs. And you believe that all fans are potential stalkers. We're talking about this Whitney Houston case.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If every fan is a potential stalker, doesn't that mean that every fan is basically a mental case?
Well, not really. I think that every fan who enjoys an artist, no matter who that artist is, wants in some way to be a part of that person's life, or they want to know a little bit more about that person. Or they want to be a part of that person's success, and it doesn't matter. It's like anybody that's listening to your broadcast right now could relate to any artist that they enjoy, anybody that they like to see in the movie theaters. This is something that they are constantly thinking about. Now, in the case of Whitney Houston, somebody just went over the line a little bit and became a little obsessed. But I think all fans are potential stalkers because they do want to see what the movie stars have in their houses, how they live, and what they do.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever stalked a celebrity?
I never really stalked a celebrity. I had a thing for a while where I was a big fan of Fuzzy Zeller's.
And who's Fuzzy Zeller?
Fuzzy Zeller is a golfer. He's a professional golfer, and I was a... quite a fan of his. But again, Phil, the line is very... there's a very fine line between liking a celebrity and tying them up and torturing them. You know? I didn't want to do that.
All right, so you didn't want to tie up Fuzzy Zeller and torture him, but you were a huge fan of his, and you were a guy that potentially could have stalked him.
Like anybody. You take a look at everybody that loves NSYNC, or you look at Britney Spears, or you look at the success around Luis Miguel or around this Enrique Iglesias. Look at the success of any great artist. There are people out there that want to be them. At Fanbase Associates, we give them a place to bounce this stuff off of them and to create something that I think is a lasting legacy.
A lasting legacy. Okay. Well, one of the things that you mentioned was that Whitney Houston needs stalking.
Houston, yeah.
Well, what do you mean she needs stalking? She's not famous enough?
I think that what we need more than anything else, Phil, is to recognize when our artists, when our stars need a little help. And right now, Whitney Houston needs some help.
But stalking's the answer.
Stalking may be the answer.
All right, well, I think what you're giving a message here is a little sick and twisted, dude.
Look at it this way. If Whitney Houston hadn't been stalked, she wouldn't be in the newspaper. And she wouldn't be on the...
What kind of press is that, man? If you're going to get stalked and have your life potentially threatened by somebody, I'm sure you'd like to be anywhere other than being famous, okay?
Well, she needs to sell some records. I mean, she needs to do something. And it's obvious to me that it's not happening for her. So what you got to do is you got to weigh the good against the bad. You have to either decide that this woman needs a little bit of ink or she doesn't. And I think a stalker can provide that.
All right, well, I got to tell you something, Art. I've never had anybody come on the air and say that people need stalking, but...
I'm not saying that it's a good thing. I'm saying sometimes it's necessary.
And what about this Rebecca Schaefer?
I'm not talking about hurting them. I just mean that...
What, climbing through the windows of their house?
I don't know if it's something that isn't going to hurt them, is all I'm saying.
All right. Good luck to you and to your organization fan base.
Well, it sounds to me like you don't approve.
I'm sorry?
It sounds to me like you don't approve.
I don't approve. I don't approve of any organization that says stalking somebody is a good thing.
I didn't say it was a good thing. I said it.
Well, you said that stalking Whitney Houston is a good thing because at least it gets her name in the newspaper.
Yes, I did say that, but it sounds to me like you're being judgmental. And
let me tell you something. That's part of what I do. Wait a second. What are you asking me the questions now?
Well, I think you're being a little judgmental and you're not understanding what it is to be a fan.
I know what it is to be a fan.
Well, let me ask you who you're a fan of.
I'm sorry?
Let me ask you this, Phil. Who are you a fan of?
I'm not a fan. I don't know. Let's say I...
Name a group.
Oh, Smashing Pumpkins.
All right. Don't you want to be who they... Don't you want to see where they live?
No, I don't want to see where they live. I like to listen to their music.
All right, well, maybe... Are you interested in what they look like?
Yeah, I'm interested in what they look like.
All right, well, that's part of it. And that's part of the alert.
Wait a second. Just because I want to see what they look like, it doesn't mean that I want to crawl in the window of their house, okay? It doesn't mean that I want to hurt them.
But it is the beginning of a stalker mentality is all I'm saying, Phil.
All right, well, I don't approve, man.
And I think you're being judgmental.
Well, I may be judgmental, but thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego with us. Talking about stalking celebrities, it might be a good thing because some of them need the ink. Don't forget about the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, number one rated Phil Henry Show, Best of the Year 2000 album, 877-616-7445. 877-616-PHIL is the number that you call, and we've raised $111,526 and a little bit of change in our My Friend's Place campaign. For the people at My Friend's Place to get all that money. So if you give us a call at 877-616-7445, you'll get a beautiful CD or possibly one of our picture disc vinyl.
I have
yes,
two
ma'am.
Comments.
Go ahead.
One of them is, how can you refer to a
again?
Diaper service?
You gave your number.
Something to do with ass when you're talking about a child.
Well, first of all, this is you're talking about adults. The children
no,
are not bringing
but
their
I
own
don't
diapers.
Need your products. My kids would, and I would never buy something that referred to as ass. They're children.
No,
and
they
second
are
of all,
diapers. They
I
are
have
for
four
adults.
Kids.
Sandwich.
Are you going to listen, or are you
no,
going to
no,
shut
me
off like you have everyone else?
I'm allowed to comment on it.
No, you've been running your mouth. Let the lady talk.
Pamela's ass wraps. 212
I have four kids, and every one of my kids has pulled off their Pampers. Every single one of them.
They hate them. Don't you get it?
No, I get it that they're curious, and that's why the little kids walk out in the snow. They're kids.
But they walked out of the snow to kill themselves. They can't stand the Pampers.
Have you never been around kids? Do you not know that kids get into everything?
Oh, see, I got it. 3 o'clock in the morning. Let's take a stroll out in the snow. Are you?
Well, apparently the mom was asleep, so she had no supervision. But you know, my kids get into everything. That's why they have child-proof locks for cabinets.
You know, lady, your children may be at risk. You have just told me that they pulled their Pampers off, that they live in the snow.
Because they're kids. I didn't say my kids go in the snow.
Where are you going?
I'm
going
to call Chopper after service.
Oh, now, wait a second.
Okay, then.
Wait
whatever.
A minute.
No, she just said her kids are pulling their underwear off in the snow. The
I didn't
thing,
say that. If you would shut your trap and listen for 2 seconds, you would have heard what I said. What I said was, my kids are able to pull their diapers off. It does not take a genius. And I also said that kids are curious. That's why they have childproof locks on things. Never been around a kid?
What are they curious about? They're pulling the Pampers off to look at what, their wiener? They've seen that a million times.
It's called curiosity. Kids get into everything. The same reason that they pull their socks off when you put socks on them. Or they take a hat off when you put a hat on them.
The only thing that sucks around here is you and your attitude. And
she said socks.
Me that people would take
ma'am,
their kids to see you.
The
you
only business that you know the only business that my family diaper says at service the only business we get lately are adult cloth diapers. And 35-year-old men. Isn't
scares
that great?
Me.
Scares
you? You scare me.
What
was knowing?
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Last night we left here, went over to the Valley to try to get some dinner. And I don't want to mention any names of restaurants because I don't know, they might be sponsors. And we're thankful if they are, and so we won't mention your name. But anyway, I went over to this place where they won't take any reservations. You know something? There's a reason why I stay out of the Valley, and I think the main reason is because I can't freaking get anything to eat there anymore. You know, I mean, everything's got like a half hour to an hour wait, which is fine. I understand people, you know, certain places are popular. What's the point of not taking any reservations, man? You got a 45-minute wait. I'm walking into this place in Woodland Hills. Really popular restaurant. Really good food, so they tell me. Hey, how you doing? We don't take any reservations, sir. Oh, okay, well, but is there a wait right now? Well, this is when I call. No, there's no wait. So we go into the place. Well, now the line's out the door. Are you one of these low blood sugar people? Because I am. Meaning when my blood sugar is low, I want to, like, drive my car through a Denny's. Not into the parking lot. I want to drive it through the restaurant itself. In any event, and after you get off the air, you know, 7 o'clock, I'm hungry. I want to go out. I want to get something to eat. You know, Maria was with me yesterday. I said, hey, you know, the kids, we got a babysitter. Hey, maybe we can spend a couple of hours together. She says, well, you want to go to the Valley? We can go over here to this place and call them up. Yeah, no, there's no wait. Let's go over. Okay, boom, we get there 40 minutes. 40 minutes is people there. And I said, geez, this is great. I mean, in other words, you got to come to the restaurant in order to see whether or not you can sit there. So you can't make a plan to go to this place if you live any more than 3 blocks away. Because otherwise you're getting in the car, you're driving, hey, let's go to this restaurant, so-and-so's. And should I say the name of the place? No, I better not, because I bet you they're sponsored. I bet you they're a sponsor. So anyway, I go over to this place, and God forbid, if they're a sponsor, I would never want to say anything bad, because then that would mean what? They'd cancel, we'd lose all that revenue, and then I'm just another jackball on the long gravy train of death. I'm just another guy that's taking food out of the mouths of the salespeople. So I'll just say, we go into this joint, it's a 40-minute wait, and it's like, forget it, man. You know how it is? Everybody's sitting there and they're going to wait 40 minutes. Let me ask you something, man. Is there anywhere you know where the wait in a restaurant's worth 40 minutes? Where? Even Ruth's Chris, which is phenomenal. It's the greatest steak I ever had. I don't know that I'm going to wait 40 minutes unless, of course, there's a nice big open seat at the bar. Then maybe I'll wait 40 minutes. Hell, I'll wait 3 hours. I may not even have dinner. I'm going to sit there, man. So we leave there. And then, well, you know, I saw a place down the street. She says, okay, follow me because we got 2 separate cars. We go down to this joint. Another well-known place. I walk in. You know, we get the valet, and I said, yeah, can we valet a car? And the guy said, you might want to go in there and check, sir, to see if you're actually going to get seated right away. So I did. I walked in, 35 minutes there. They won't take a reservation, so you got to walk into the joint to find out. Well, you know what? Where I live, every place I go to eat is thousands of miles away. I mean, we live way out. Way, way out east of, or west of the city. So everywhere I got to eat or take anybody to eat or take the family to eat is in the Valley. That's the closest place where there's restaurants. And so you drive in there and you're taking a shot. You know, you're rolling the dice. I'm never going to eat in the Valley again because I'll die. I'll starve to death before anything happens. In fact, you know what? I think I will eat in the Valley. I got about 50 pounds to lose. If you don't want to eat, you want to drop about 50 pounds, eat in the Valley. Because by the time they seat you, you'll have lost 45 of it. You know, Melissa, you're right. All I got to do is say, hey, look, I got a party at 12.
We don't take reservations.
Party at 12, okay? And my name is, I don't know, what sounds good today? How about Steven Spielberg, okay?
Oh, yes, sir, come right up.
You trying to tell me that they would not seat Steven, they wouldn't take a reservation from Steven Spielberg? Seriously, if you call him? Honest to God, these places will not take a reservation because, well, you just show up first come, first serve because that's the policy here at Merlot's, okay? I'm Steven Spielberg.
Uh-huh.
No, I really am. And here's, well, in that case, bull crap. I'm not really Steven Spielberg. I just wanted to see if you do it. Now you're really in trouble. Merlot's, hi, you got a table for 12? I'm sorry, sir, we don't take... I'm Steven Spielberg, the director of, like, Saving Private Ryan and E.T. You know, our policy is flexible. Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. They must have some kind of flexibility in that regard. They must. And I've tried it. I told you guys before, it's fun for me. I'm not embarrassed at all to call up and say, hi, I'd like to get a reservation. I'm sorry, sir. Well, I'm Phil Hendry. I'm a celebrity. I'll even say that. I'll say I'm a celebrity. Sir, do you? No, I'm a celebrity. And, well, I don't know. It happened. It did me some good one time. And it was at the old spaghetti factory down in Newport Beach. We were taking the kids. We were down there last summer. And Uncle Carlos was up from San Diego. And so we were going to take the kids to the old spaghetti factory. So we go in there. And that joint is crawling with people on a Friday night in Newport Beach. Forget it, man. In the summer, forget it. You know, it's people pouring out. They're out on the street. They're out on PCH. So I walked in and I said, hi, I'm a celebrity. Hi, can you get me a table? And she's like, oh, ha, 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 ha. You are you? Yeah, I am. I'm famous. And, well, who are you? Well, I'm Phil Hendry. Really? Yeah, and I do a radio show. Ah, ha, ha, she don't know me from a freaking hole in the wall. Until she asked one of the busboys, some guy, Jesus, he was taking the garbage out to the garbage pails or something. Hey, you know this guy, Phil Hendry? He drops the can. He goes, yeah, I know that guy. And the busboy, we got a great seat out in the garbage pails, out next to those. But it was a seat. That was the only other time it ever worked for me. But I do try it, and I will continue to do that because I don't think celebrities should get better seats, but I might as well just push my weight around. I might as well muscle people that way. You know what? Just give it a shot. Celebrities have this phony baloney sort of attitude, which is, you know, I don't give autographs, that kind of thing. The other one that's even more irritating is, oh, you know, I don't do interviews. And the one that's even more irritating is that they want to be just regular people. And all three of those things is such smoldering, moldering, fetid crap that, of course, a celebrity wants to be recognized. Of course, they want to have people ask for their autograph. And no, they don't want to be one of the regular people because they want to be able to call up and say, hi, I'm Irving Farquhar, and I'm, oh, yes, Mr. Farquhar, your table's ready. Thank you. They want to be able to do that. And I will not lie to you, I am shooting for that in my life and in my career. I want to be able to do that someday. Call up and say, yes, I'm Phil Hendry, where's my bloody table? So then we finally went over to this place we know in Westlake and sat down and started to eat. And, of course, this problem, you know, there's another problem. This joint has got a kid standing up and he's, you know, running around the table and he's bugging me, man. You know, I like kids, but they bug me when they're running around a dinner table. They just bug me when they're up and they're running around. I'm in a restaurant with my wife. You know, this, it wasn't Chuck E. Cheese. If it was Chuck E. Cheese, I would have figured it out. If it was McDonald's, I would have figured, okay, that's cool. But I'm in a restaurant. It seems to be a place where adults go. But there's this one kid running around the table, standing there, and he's acting like a little, like I could have picked this kid up and drown him. So that was, you know, I just was bummed last night from the gate. And I walked out of here feeling great. We had a really good show. I walked out and feeling great. I'm trying to get something to eat, man. And I finally said, we got to split out of here, too, until they gave us a cozy little table in the back. And they said, just for you, Mr. Hendry. I said, oh, you recognize me. He said, no, but your wife told me it would do some good if we mentioned your name. And okay, thanks. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. So did you see Temptation Island last night? I didn't. I don't know what happened. I blew it. God, did I blow it. I came home and our 11-year-old is at a camp someplace. Our 13-year-old, and I don't know where that is. Our 11-year-old right now is in a tent in some mud somewhere. Apparently he left home. He's with some hobos. And he's just hopping boxcars. No, he's doing some sleepover thing. No, I came in and the 13-year-old was watching Temptation Island. Talk about the, you know, just parental supervision and whatever it is. We got it. We are on top. Marie and I came in from dinner and there's the 13-year-old. He's watching Temptation Island. And not that there's anything on that show that's untoward. Not that I don't know. I mean, I haven't really said. I haven't seen one thing on the show that's really shocking other than the nipple-lipping incident that Mandy did with that black guy. And the interracial aspect of that was more shocking than the nipple thing. But in any event, I'm joking. But I had to throw that in for whoever, you know, agrees with me. But anyway, so you watched it, huh, Mike? I didn't see it. I feel so, I feel like scum. But I do know one thing. They're all faithful to each other. Now they are. While they were on the island, I think one or two of them, I think there's about three cases of clap, but they all love each other. And we want to just give them a round of applause, even though Kaya has got a raging case of gonorrhea. Good boy, Kaya.
Well, I don't know. You know, I was kind of hooked up with a couple of the chicks, but I think I'm going to be faithful to Valerie.
And that Valerie, does she look like she wants to commit cold-blooded murder or what? I got it all wrong. I thought Billy was the one who was going to be the serial killer. That Valerie, that goofball, she's got that model, that Kaya's a model. And Valerie, what's she do? She's a buyer for Piggly Wiggly or something? Oh, she's a real estate agent. And she's like 3 years older than him, and she's shooting daggers at anybody that even looks at this guy. And he's whatever he is. He's a real boy toy. I don't know what this cat's story is, man. He's just a kind of a little GQ, GQ Junior, Hunk Junior. Almost, you know, getting a little bit gay, but you know, okay. And didn't he say that he got hooked up with a couple of chicks on this Temptation Island? That Kaya guy, I think it would be so great if he would come back with just a moderate case of the drip. Just to say that, you know, things are
bad at Temptation Island. Fox backpedaling. Fox has had to backpedal because, well, you know, Billy's got the drip. Jesus. We're sorry, Billy. We didn't want to let it out.
You guys said you'd, you know, tell everybody that I was faithful to Mandy.
We wanted to, but what are we supposed to do when you're screaming with pain and it brings you to your knees when you urinate?
I don't know. I mean, you guys could have faked it.
Well, we're sorry, Billy.
Everybody thought that I was a good guy, man. Everybody thought that Mandy was cheating on me. Everyone thought that Billy was solid, that I really love Mandy. Now you got to tell everybody I got the drip.
Well, you do, don't you?
Well, it's just a moderate burn.
Well, you've got it.
Gee, thanks a lot, everybody. What about the confidentiality?
You didn't sign any confidentiality agreement, Billy.
You came on this show, and I thought it was going to be the nice guy. I was going to be the good guy. Well, you're not the nice guy anymore. And your girlfriend's got chlamydia, so what do you want from me? Get out of here. We don't want you on the show anymore. Go back to that thing. What are you? You're a waiter, an actor? What the hell are you doing?
Well, I'm actually, I'm waiting for Godot. I'm going to do a Shakespeare in the Park.
Shakespeare in what park? Piedmont Park? I'm an actor, which means what? Oh, well, I'm going to go to Hollywood. Okay, so you're going to be a waiter in L.A. instead of Atlanta. All right, good for you. And then Mandy, where's she back in Atlanta? And Billy came out here? Yeah, things are going strong. I love you, baby, but I got to take advantage of this big shot. By the way, I called Fox today just for kicks. Not because we wanted to get any of these people on the show, but just for laughs. When I'm depressed and a lot of times I'm irritated with how our show prep process is going, I'll just call up the publicity departments of the different studios and harass them. Just, hi, this is Phil Hendry, or sometimes I'll call myself Art Bell, and I'll bother them, you know. And I called Fox today and said, so what's the story with this Mandy and why Tossie and all these cats, man? You want to get them on the show? Well, Mr. Hendry, they're doing what? But come on. Well, they're doing a lot of interviews. They're doing a lot of interviews. This guy was playing it like I was trying to get to the Queen of England. Oh, well, they're doing this and they're doing that. I'm telling you, the cat that I talked to at Fox is telling me, you can't get near these guys because they got big-time interview appointments, and they're going to be, they're doing whatever they're doing, television, and they've got a shot on USA Today, did a piece on Mandy, and it's, boy, we'll talk to you Friday. Well, excuse me. I said, what are you talking about, man? These guys got a shelf life. I said, these guys have a shelf life of about 6 months. He goes, actually 2 minutes. I said, I won't give your name on the air. So how about we get an interview with these guys? Well, I'll call you Friday. Hey, Mike, don't answer the phone Friday. You know what? Fox, I understand, has booked all these people on the Arsenio Hall show. So that's a really good move. Oh, they're off the air? Well, what anyway? What's Fox? Put them on Mad TV. Anyway, as it turns out, as I was told this morning when I walked in, they're all faithful to each other, and they want to make a go of it. They all want to go back to civilization, and they want to stay together, and they don't ever want to go through the hellish, the rotten, the foul, the living hell of being on Temptation Island. And by the way, I understand that Mark Wahlberg went to hug a couple of the girls, and they blew him off and just got on the boat and got the hell out of there. Oh, that's the other thing the guy at Fox told me. Mark Wahlberg is available. I said, I don't want him. What do I want to talk to him for? Well, Mr. Wahlberg, no, he's going to come on here. He's going to finesse me. He's going to give me the whole producer pitch. I'm sure he's a very nice man, but I want to talk to the regular. Not that I would know what to do if they came in here. We were going to do it. We were going to goof on him. But then I said, ah, screw it, man. Who needs to negotiate that gauntlet? But the moral of the story is this, and it's okay. I suppose there's a little bit of jealousy sort of raging in my veins a bit over the whole idea that all you have to do is get on television, look stupid, and drink a few pina coladas, and I don't, you know, and just and do that for 13 weeks or whatever it was, and you'll be, you know, you'll be on the late night with whoever's hosting late night these days. And the fact of the matter is, what did they do? They just got on, they looked dumb, drank some pina coladas, got a case of the drip, and got out of there. I would love... Come on, Fox, come clean. Who's got the gonorrhea? Tonight. Who would do that? Inside Edition? Somebody's got to dig the dirt up on that. The Globe? I would love to see the headline, Billy with the drip. Hard copy, if you'll pardon the expression. You know, lick a stranger's nipple and do it in front of, boom, you're on the Greg Kilborn show in front of 30 million, 40 million people. Anyway, they're all together and they're all doing fine and they're going to have to come up with another premise for next year because everybody's going to figure that it's, they're all going to be faithful. Am I right or am I wrong? Everybody's going to do the same thing. So, I don't know. And then the other thing I watched last night, because I watch my TV, I get a shot to watch television every now and again when everybody's asleep, so I can come downstairs 10 o'clock and see some television. And I flip the tube on. All the kids are asleep. My wife's asleep. And I'm very boring, as you can probably tell. And I watch the History Channel. You know, that's my thing. That's how exciting life is for me. And I'm watching the history of Britain last night. I woke up with a stiff neck this morning because the guy that hosts this show is some English professor with a tweed jacket and, you know, the elbow patches. And he's talking like this, and his head is moving all over the place. In 1066 at Hastings, William the Conqueror, and the head's going up and down and everything. And, man, I'm trying to follow this guy. Some kind of a weird... This is this guy's M.O. in class when he's giving a lecture. His head's all over the place. You ever see these guys when they're pitching a product on TV? Yes, now you too can do the thing. See, if you've ever gotten any coaching for television commercials, they tell you, use your hands and use your head. So you see a lot of people with the hands doing this and the heads moving all over the place. So I, you know, vertebrae went out of whack and now I'm dizzy watching this dumb stuff. By the way, the History Channel gave us an idea. How about the Hitler Channel? Because that's all that they have. Other than the history of Britain, then they go back to Joseph Goebbels and Adolf Hitler, and Hitler when he was young, Hitler midlife, Hitler retiring, and Hitler playing AAA ball. It's all there on the Hitler Channel. All right, 1-800-449-8686 with $111,526 in the bank. This is the Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD, 877-616-7445.